There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And it's easy to get in touch. Two ways to do it. One phone number that you can call or text on, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can leave us one of those talkback messages. It's like a, looks like a microphone on the front page of the app. If you press that, lets you record the message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on there. So check that out. All right, I mentioned coming up this hour, and he is in studio, a congressman and candidate for the Republicans for CD1. Because I used to say AL1. Now everybody's taking CD1. It's Jerry Carl. Good to see you.
Great to be here.
See, are you CD or AL?
I'm an AL.
I am too. And then I saw all the stories start changing.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. It's not illogical. CD1, Congressional District 1, does. But I was always...
People don't know what CD1 is. That's what I'm... You know, I
it was always AL1, that. AL2, AL3, yeah. AL4.
Well, just to me, it's AL1. I'll answer to either one.
Good. So when you're on the trail, if somebody says, I'm interested in CD or AL, you're good.
That's right.
It's just
as long as
they're
not talking about electricity, we're good.
That's right. As long as it's one,
right.
You're in.
Or Rock Band.
Yes. Okay. Can I pry into your private life?
Sure.
Okay. Because, you know, we were talking here a week or two ago. Y'all were going on a vacation.
We did.
Much, much deserved after being on the campaign trail.
We did. We booked a very quick trip to Maine.
Okay.
I will tell you, do not go the last week of October to Maine.
October?
November. What month are we in now? We're in September.
So yeah, we're in September, yeah.
Yeah, November. So October, November, so July, August. Okay. Last week in August.
Okay.
We'll get the story straight in a minute. But it was so crowded. I felt like I was at Orange Beach
really?
In the middle of June. I mean, it was just bumper to bumper. It was tourist season. We just picked the wrong time. Beautiful state. My wife just, she loves lobster, so we...
So do I.
I tried one. I can't get it. I don't
care. Oh, I love lobster.
Now, it's like chewing Play-Doh when I was a kid, you know? It just... So this is
they're not doing it right.
Yeah, then. The textures. Hey, if they don't know how to do it right. It doesn't.
Well, because
get done
I was in Boston for Independence Day, and I ate like every meal I found somewhere. Like lobster this time, lobster roll this time, lobster bisque the other time. I mean, it was kind of got ridiculous.
Well, I don't want to talk about my wife, but she got pretty close to that. Hey, they had
she's
lobsters.
My, she's
at
my
McDonald's.
Spirit animal. I hear you.
Yeah, they had lobster at McDonald's, but we had a
did
great
they really?
Time. Yeah, well, we did. We really had a great time. I wish it would have been less people because a vacation to me is going to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and chasing elk all day long in
which I love.
Yellowstone. That's my idea of fun. Not,
I love the
not
West.
Going fighting people to buy a stuffed animal at a tourist shop.
Yes, but let me okay. We'll get into the campaign and politics in a second, but. Yellowstone that I love, and you know I love that area of the West and Southwest Montana and, you know, and Wyoming. There's a gajillion people there, too, sometimes in Yellowstone.
You go the week after school starts.
True.
That's what I'm getting at. And I'm sure Maine is absolutely gorgeous over and above what we saw, obviously, just less people. And we'll, next time we go, we'll pick the right time of the year.
Okay. Well, very good. So you're back home.
Yeah. Back on campaign trail.
So we talk about, talking about the campaign, kind of what... What do you do from now through November? I mean, obviously, there was a pacing going in to the special earlier last month. Do you talk to different groups now? What do you do now?
Well, like, there's really not a lot of different groups to talk to. What we're talking about changes up because it changes from being, I want to be your representative to it's a Republican Party issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have got to remember where we were in 2020. When I got elected and I got the privilege of going to Washington and serving, Biden took over, Nancy Pelosi was running the House, and it was pure hell up there. I remember it very well. I remember all the things they changed. I remember all the trans issues. I remember all the fishing issues. I remember all the issues that the Democrat Party immediately started changing. It wasn't one of these things they sat around and thought about. It was stuff they had planned. So we went through 2 years of this. I mean, it was horrible. So, of course, we won the House back in the last 2 years. It got a little bit more sanity about it. But if we, the voters, don't get out and vote, the Republican Party, we're going to return right back to what we just came out of.
Well, that's
and
what I'm saying.
Telling
yeah,
you,
I mean,
those
you'll be
people
elected.
Are still there, Sean.
Well, okay.
They haven't gone anywhere.
Well, and also, they will be back in control. Anything I'm looking at here in these midterms does not look good for Republicans in the midterms.
Look at the vote last night. On socialism, communism.
Vote, yeah.
If that doesn't tell you all you need to know as an American, you are blind. You are deliberately blind. And I'm saying that to my Democrat friends. We do not need socialism in this country. And when you get the Democrat Party overwhelmingly support it, if you elect a Democrat House of Representatives from this district, they will have no choice but to vote the way they're told to vote. That's the way the Democrat Party works. There's no options. You vote their way or not at all.
You know, it's something that's interesting, too, is I'll hear, people say there's no moderate Democrats left. I will say there are a few. But in this kind of line item voting or this party voting, you'll hear somebody go, hey, I don't believe in whatever it is. We'll come up with, I'm not for trans and kids under 18.
Right.
But I understand the process. You know, something like that. It'll be, I don't believe in this, but I understand why people do it. That kind of, and then they take the vote and they vote for the thing. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what you really think. If you're going to vote that way, you know, for socialist policies, and I might have some worries that there's some of that creeping in the Republican Party, but we can get to that in a second. But the idea is somebody will come out and say, well, I'm not for that because they want to hold that for the campaign trail that I'm a moderate, but they're going to vote for the thing anyways. They're never not going to vote for it. So, I mean, the end of it is they're voting just like they were farther left than they are.
Everyone takes votes that they don't want to take. We all do. But on an issue like communism and socialism, that's a no-brainer for me. And I think that's a no-brainer for most Americans. I think to have an elected official that actually voted for that, I think they ought to be cast out. I think they ought to be gone. I see no space in this country for that.
Okay, so let me play this side of it, though. I've watched this rise of the DSA.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's fueled by people. You had Dr. Carson on the show the other day, the program they're bringing in Alabama to try to teach civics. But that's great, and I'm glad they're starting with, like, kindergarten through fifth grade. That's when they got it started. But if you don't understand civics and don't understand the examples of failed socialism of the past, and you feel like you can't do as good as your parents did. The mortgage rates are too much. The job cuts are out there. AI is coming. You see the tech lords making billions and billions of dollars. And you can't make as much money adjusted for inflation as your parents did when they were your age to get a house and get a family started. If you don't know the pitfalls of socialism, there's something appealing about that, that they're going to fix it for you.
Yes, government has never fixed anything.
Agreed.
And I've had this conversation numerous times. The federal government, local government's got a better chance of fixing things.
100%.
Because you touch them, you're around them, you see them in the grocery store. I mean, they're more responsive.
Mm-hmm.
But federal government, I mean, we get shipped off to D.C. and whether you voters like it or not, we're stuck there. You know, we're stuck there voting. We're stuck there doing the job we're hired to do. We get to come home on the weekends if it's an open weekend. That's just the way it works. But socialism, I grew up in a different era. And to be communist or to label yourself as a communist or a socialist, you had to really get out there. So I guess that's where a lot of my fear comes from. But I think we've become a society. We expect everything to be fixed instantly. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work that way.
But how does the Republican Party, how do y'all message out there to those folks? Because it's, you know, they're and it's not, I think you watch Fox News and it's like DSAs or candidates are winning everything. That's not true. I mean, they do overhype things, but it is happening. How do you go out as Republicans? I'm not talking about ALCD1. I'm talking about nationally. How do you make the case for the people that are showing up to vote in New York for a Mamdani, or they're voting in other states for representatives that are very far left because they think that's the only, the other thing hadn't worked, this is my only chance. How do Republicans tell them, y'all, that's not going to work, and we do have a plan that's going to work for regular folks, not just for, you know, the people in the tech world? They see these deals, see how much money they make. They go, well, I'll never get that kind of money. I just want to have a house, but I can't, you know, the mortgage rate's too high.
And there was a day I was shoveling coal on a belt line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I decided I wasn't going to stay here. I'm going to move forwards. And I did it based on my sweat.
But you had watched people. What I would argue is you'd watch people that had, you know, I mean, you know the sharecropper that raised me.
Yeah.
You watch people work and get to that point. But if that is lost in their mentality.
I was going to say that society now doesn't see it that way.
Right.
They want to have an instant stock success. So they want to become a billionaire overnight. They see these stories.
I'm going to be famous by next week.
There's been billionaires who crop up. I mean, look at the steel industry. I mean, look at the people in the early 1900s that become rich overnight. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's only one or two of them.
That's right.
I mean, look at
that's
it
why
today.
They, yeah, why know their names.
Yeah. Their names are synonymous to all of us these days. But, you know, we've got to encourage our kids, and I'm excited about the young kids we got coming up. We've got to encourage the kids to find that niche, find what they're good at, find out what they want to do. I did a lot of things I didn't want to do. I had 21 toilets one time to clean an Alabama Power out of power plant, and I hated that. But you know what? I learned a lot from cleaning those toilets.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest thing I learned is I didn't want to clean any more toilets. But that's the motivator. And we don't have motivators like that anymore. Where everybody wants to get a trophy. Everybody wants to get a certificate. There's only one winner.
But the problem is, if you don't know that this socialism thing doesn't work from before, you don't have that education, and they're telling you, we're going to work it out for you.
Tell me one country where it's worked.
No, it hasn't. I mean, you could argue that in the Scandinavian countries, there's some degree that European socialism has worked, but they have a different population and things are different expectations. I agree with you, it doesn't work, but I'm saying the appeal of it is obviously getting traction because they're saying, well, the moderate Democrats haven't ever, you know, they hadn't helped us in a long time. They've abandoned the working class. I think that's what Trump, you know, got those people to vote for him, one. But now they're saying, well, that's really not working for us. We might as well go to this because I can't get ahead in this world, but the DSA candidates are telling me how they're going to, you know, get the trillionaires and or the billionaires and get their money and give it to me, and that's better than nothing.
It's not going to happen. Billionaires will pack up and move off. You know how this works.
True. But I'm just saying, I just wonder what Republicans will say to break through that and say, not only does that not work, here's how it does work, and we have some plans.
Yeah, well, the fear factor. I mean, that's what we're falling back to is the fear factor there. You don't scare people into reality, and that's sad. And most people don't live in the bubble we live in. We study politics. We focus on politics. I mean, that's our life. Most people, all their
but focus no, it costs on too is, much to fill up their truck right now.
Yeah,
the interest rates are high, and mortgage rates are high.
Can't get a bigger house.
Right.
Hey, I'm house shopping myself. I'm shocked.
Yeah,
I am shocked. Sticker shocked at some of the prices. That just blows my mind.
And their jobs aren't paying, adjusted for inflation.
Yep.
You know what their parents' jobs are paying when they were that same age.
But again, I don't know that federal government has the answer.
I agree with you, they don't.
Another law is going to fix it.
No, but what messaging? What, you know, not just like, I agree, I don't want to see even more laws come up, but what messaging do the Republicans say, we hear you, and here's how our policies, if we're able to run things, are going to lift you up.
Do you truly think the Robin Hood mentality is going to work?
I don't
take from the rich, give to the poor.
I don't know, but it has been appealing over. It doesn't work long term, but it has been appealing to places over the years.
I don't argue that. That's what the Democrat Party has been preaching for the last 60 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, we're going to take from the rich man, give to the poor. Look at the people supporting the Democrat Party. I mean, the true wealthy people in this country, give or take one or two. I mean, they're Democrats. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're there for a reason. They're not there just to be a Democrat. They're there because they're making money somewhere.
Well, exactly. And but that leaves all the other folks out of the mix. So we're come back. We'll get this conversation continued with Jerry Carl. He's in the studio. And 251-343-0106 with your questions. Got some on my list for sure. We'll get to those next.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, so welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. And our guest, he is a congressman and a candidate for, I can say AL1 with him. AL1. You're AL1.
Proud.
Yeah. But then everybody say CD1? No, AL1. Yeah. Jerry Carl. I want to talk about a couple things, too, which is no big surprise for me. We're $40 trillion in debt.
Oh.
I mean, you've heard me. Yeah. I think when you were on county commission, you and I were talking about this just generally. This is my obsessive. If you had to Look me up in Wikipedia to say, and he's also obsessed with fiscal responsibility. You're a business guy. There's a certain point that if I'm a banker, I'm going to say, I'm not going to lend you any more money. You're not coming out of this one.
Well, we need the printer to say we're not going to print any more money.
Yeah.
That's what we need. But I keep going back to this. I've been saying this for 2 years.
Debt.
I mean, if we just focus on the waste, fraud, and abuse. Just that.
Congressman, I've heard that forever.
Well, I'm telling you, we've got a Doge report. We've got an idea of where it's at. Let's start doing a deep dive into these committees. Let's start chipping it apart. I have sat there through these committees. I know how it works. I know exactly all the arguments they have. There's always dark money. Mm-hmm. You know what that term means. It's going to a 3D lettered government agency of some type, and they're going to flush it through another source, and nobody's going to tell you about it. And nobody will explain it to you. I mean, you constantly, but if we can take that fraud and abuse, just the fraud and abuse, we're looking at $1 trillion right there and start turning around.
And what I'd like to know is if you are there's a vote that comes up, that happens. Would you vote for that $1 trillion? Let's say it's $1 trillion in fraud and abuse be applied to
all this tariff money, put it towards the debt.
Yeah.
Don't send $1,000 check out to everybody.
I'm glad to hear that.
I don't understand the rationale there other than you're
like
making
politics.
It may be politics, but I don't, you know, $1,000 check doesn't make or break most people. It
right.
Obviously helps. I would never argue that.
Yeah, but if our republic fails, who cares if you have a $1,000 check?
So we've got to get spending under control. But we also have to look at all these social programs that we've got financed. There are so many social programs out there. Whether it's a Tiger Grant, which is sidewalks that are being mm-hmm. built in Mobile. God bless them. We all like our sidewalks. We want it to be a city that we can move around on foot. But those are Tiger Grants. Those, mm-hmm. that's federal money. It's our money. But it's still federal money.
Yeah.
It's still money that's coming out of that federal budget that you're talking about. So we've got a lot of sharpening. Now, we had a plan put together 2 years ago to pay the debt off. It was about an 8-year process to actually get it done. The problem when you put a plan in place like that is the next administration will change it. Mm-hmm. That's the true problem. That's just the nature of the beast. And there will be a change in administration. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Republican this time, Democrat next time. Because the American voters, they will do that. They will switch back and forth.
Well, we've never seen, you know, be told, people like me, Chicken Littles of the world, saying the sky's falling on this, and it doesn't fall. So people quit listening to people like me about the debt. You know, they're like, well, listen, things keep going on. That's fine.
Well, the debt's obviously a very big concern.
$40 trillion.
So I'd have to go back and do the math, but that would take us stack $1 bills.
Yeah,
that'll
take
us to the moon and back something like 60 times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, heck, at this point, I think we're heading to Neptune on that stack. All right, coming back, more Jerry Carl right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We'll check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motorcars. Always talking about inventory, but he did a little teaser there during the news break. You said you have some unique vehicles showing up. What is it, man?
Well, we do. First things, we got a little Nissan Frontier coming in that's a one owner that's going to be under 10 grand. It's on the truck on the way. And then stuff that's getting harder and harder to find. There's fewer of them. I don't know. But one of them is a 2020 Chrysler 300 Touring sedan.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a 2021 Volkswagen Atlas coming. Every Volkswagen Atlas we've had, we've sold. The people are just ecstatic with it. And then this is the first one of these we've had, the new body style Cadillac Escalade ESV.
Very cool.
So that's a 2023 model Cadillac Escalade ESV, and it's going to be right at 50 grand. And that is a deal for something like that. It's absolutely beautiful. It's black on black on black. So it's a gorgeous truck.
Okay, people want to check those out and everything else in inventory. Tell them how to find you.
You come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation. That's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We're on the corner right there at the third red light. Give us a call, 251-375-0068, or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Bye, man. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motorcars. Where I got my latest vehicle from. Did you see it, Congressman? You see it out in the parking lot?
I did.
Yeah, so they got, speaking of which, so I can sit here and say, I don't know what it is today. I can scan it. I'm sure we're starting to get within shouting distance of $6 a gallon for diesel out there.
Well, mine's burning diesel also, so.
I mean, this is, yeah. I hit up the Casey's gas station there by the house. There's a lot of crying.
I don't understand why the gas prices are going so high. I encourage
the Strait of Hormuz. We're at war with Iran.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. When gas can go up 10 cents a gallon, and a barrel of crude goes up $4,
mm-hmm.
and it comes down $4 the next day, and crude only and a gallon of gas only comes down 2 cents. Where's that 8 cents at?
It's very sticky once it goes up. It doesn't come down.
I think we need to do a deep dive into the profits of these oil companies. I've just got real problems with what I see. The numbers don't match in my head. I'm not opposed to people making money. I'm all for that. But don't gouge us. Don't gouge us. And I always refer back to the hurricane season. If it was a hurricane season and a hurricane hit today and fuel went up 30 cents a gallon tomorrow, you know what would happen, right?
Yeah, they would be investigated under price gouging.
They would. Why don't we do that now? Why is there not a check and balance system?
Well, you're the one that's been to Washington. Well, I've been there, but you in official capacity. So yeah.
Well, we've got to do a better job there. I'm sorry.
Let's see. Some questions for the text line. Let's see. Dirt Digger said, "I'm tired of paying more taxes on my land. When you pay taxes on the stuff that you have to buy to make your house and land better, then you have to pay more land taxes, and that's not fair."
I don't disagree with that. I just did improvements to my house. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen to my tax bill. I don't have an issue with that at all. I don't know how to respond other than that.
Let's see. It's a long one. Navy Chief, I'll try to get to this. It's a long text. Fred says, ask Jerry if he would be for not raising any more expenditures and keeping taxes where they're at to deal with the debt.
On the federal side?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I that's find ways to cut taxes.
Well, but see, Fred and I are on the same page. I'm famous for unpopular opinions. But if you would keep, Lord knows, I mean, I can show you, I've been dealing with the accountant right now. I mean, taxes punch me in the nose pretty good. But I'm more interested in the republic I leave to my children.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could have what you're talking about, that plan, that 8-year plan, we're cutting. We're right-sizing government. I would even agree to keep getting punched in the nose on my taxes for 8 years, because the delta would be smaller between the two if we kept the revenue coming in where it is now, and we cut the expenditure. I want to arrive at a point. Let's just talk about good days when we're like, hey, it's only $1 trillion debt. Not 40 trillion. And I worry about the debt service on this. I mean, you and I are both. Can you imagine? This is my argument to folks.
That bothers me probably as much as the debt itself.
You and I both. because you get nothing for it.
Right.
That is, you know, I mean, it sounds like I'm, you know, giving a speech to my 21-year-old. You get in that situation, you're debt servicing here, you're getting nothing for
just
it.
Just like your credit cards.
Absolutely.
You're paying the minimum.
And that's what we're doing as a country. That much money that goes out in debt service on the $40 trillion is not applied to any American. You can disagree with federal spending, y'all, but if it's going to an American, you might not like that, but at least it stayed in this country. In a lot of cases, it goes out of the country. But when you're doing debt service, not any of us getting anything for it.
Nope.
We're paying taxes. Show you the bill I got this year. Paying taxes, and that's going to service debt that we shouldn't have at the level of $40 trillion.
I totally agree with you, Sean.
I think that's where Fred and I don't think I was jumping to a conclusion there, that Fred may be on the same page where I have been. Believe me, I want my taxes dropped too, but I even more than that, I want our republic, and I know you drop my taxes and I'm going to invest more money and there's more, but we've seen that happen over time, and it's still, and we still build this debt.
I don't think the American people mind paying taxes. It's the way the taxes are used and abused is where the problem's at.
And I think one of the abuses for me, and I just, we'll go to the text line here. For me, one of the abuses is that my tax money is going to pay debt, I mean, service debt that I don't think we should have at that level.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
I mean, it angers me as much as like, you'd be like, oh, this crazy program. I mean, listen, I've done talk radio for a long time. I'll find you a crazy program we're spending money on, and everybody gets riled up. But in addition, service and debt we shouldn't have also drives me crazy.
Okay.
There it is. All right, I feel better. Mike says, when you get back to Washington, Mr. Carl, start the investigation into the oil companies real quick, fast, and in a hurry.
I look for that to happen. I'm telling you, I've got a meeting set up the end of next week with some oil executives, and I'm just really curious what's going to come from that, because I've been beating this drum about they need to be investigated. So we'll see.
Okay, let's talk about the international side of things, too. Where do you see the off-ramp for the war with Iran?
Iran's got to be taken over by its own people, and or it's got to be taken over by countries that surround them. The Americans will never take that over. We Americans don't know how to operate there.
You know, there's some people up in Washington would love to see our boys and girls with their boots on the ground there.
No. I've said it before. I'll say it 1,000 times. I do not want boots on the ground from America. Now, Saudi.
Yeah, they want to do it.
UAE, any of those other countries want to send their troops in, God bless them.
If they want to send an old boy from Doha, that's fine, but not a boy from Grand Bay.
No,
that's
no,
where I am.
No. But it's going to take the people of Iran, and that's the real hard part. You're talking about 47, 48 years of not knowing any different. 47, 48 years of anti-America. They see us as bad people. I wish we would start releasing more information that we know what's going on in the streets in Iran. I know we've got to have more information, boots on the ground, as far as the people uprising. But I don't see enough of that.
Yeah, you hear those numbers when they rose up before, back what, January or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard as low as like 1,300. This is coming from like IRGC people, like to 30-something thousand. I've heard stories it was just people that were shooting at the Iranian people to they were going in, even protesters that were taken into hospitals that had been injured, and they were killing them in the hospital. I mean, I've heard all these different stories. I'm not there to know, you know, but I know that if you get if you saw that at some level, let's pick a number between the two. Let's say it's 25,000 of your fellow people. You don't have guns. You don't have the Second Amendment rights. We do. There are people actually in Iran that have guns, but hunting rifles and all that stuff. But you saw that, and that group and that organization has been decapitated. Who is going to rise up?
It's going to take an outside source. Turkey. It's going to take a
Turkey.
It's going to take one of the other countries to go in there and that they will trust. That's the key, is what who the people there trust.
Yeah, because you know what they're not going to trust is, and I see it from that side, if we were there, which I fought the whole time, the idea is abhorrent to me of Americans going in there. Even the ones that are anti the Ayatollahs, we have bombed their country.
Yep.
So even people that might be neutral might say, we don't want the Ayatollahs, but to hell with you as well.
Yep, you killed my aunt and my uncle.
Yes.
You know,
I don't care. I don't like these guys either, but I sure as heck don't like you.
You're no different than they are. So get a third source in there. Let's find a way to do that. And I believe we can. I've said from the very beginning, what Trump's doing right now is the only way you're going to beat them. You're going to have to economically shut them down. You're going to have to shut them down, cut their oil resources. And he's done that. Now the money.
Do you think that works? It was interesting when Bessent came out.
When you can't pay your soldiers to get out in those trenches and do what they need to do, they're going to have to go home and do something to take care of their family.
But what do you think China did, like with this latest move here, which is interesting to me? It's different with Bessent to come out. It's not just going after Iran, but going after countries that do business with Iran.
I think it's perfect.
I do too, but do we have the backbone?
Donald Trump does.
With China and say, we're not doing any business with you, China, because you're buying,
I think
you're helping Iran, you're taking Iranian oil.
You know, it's always been my mindset. I've never been a China fan, period. I was raised, my mother just despised them for whatever reason, but I've never been a fan of theirs. But, you know, there are a lot of things that we need in this country. There's a lot of stuff that not just China, but other countries that we don't get along with.
Right, and don't
so
you know
we,
they know
we
that?
We have to be careful to cut that. We just don't say we'll cut 100% off.
Right, and you know they know that.
Sure.
Going into negotiation,
sure.
I'm like,
but
yeah,
I think
they talk
what
tough.
Trump's doing just like the chip industry. I mean, he really pushed for the chip industry there when he first got in office. So we've got a chip company looking here in Mobile. I've been working with. It's going to be huge, huge. Where they wind up here or not, it's two different stories. But I mean, that's what has started from the beginning of the Trump administration by him promoting, pushing and promoting, bringing it from offshores back home. So when we can make those chips here, it's going to make us less dependent on those other countries. It does not happen overnight. That's what people have got to remember.
I'll tell you who'd be worried. If we start onshore, which I would love to see, onshoring chip production, if I was somebody in Taiwan, I'd be getting sweat around my neck and getting nervous.
There's several companies nationwide that are setting up. So
you'd be worried in Taiwan and be like, hey, they protect us because we have the chips. Now we don't have the chips. Oh, crap. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. First of all, Anna, give us a precious metals look. How are we looking on this Wednesday?
Silver is still down. It's around $65 an ounce and some change. And gold is under $4,400 and it's been under that. I think it's $43.75 right now and some change.
Okay. So maybe a buying opportunity out there?
Absolutely. I mean, we've had people that already called in this morning, visited, and everything else in between, stopped in to buy some gold. So it is a good opportunity to buy gold while it's still down, because predictions are it's going to start climbing back up again, just like silver.
And you'll probably, while you're there, also find it's ridiculous, but the folks at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry will be ready for Christmas by October. You can get gift items while you're in there, even if you're going to save them in the sock drawer for coming up Christmas.
Oh, yeah. The Christmas rounds are on their way. So they're in shipping right now.
See, I knew it. I didn't even talk to you before. I knew this. You know it's September, and y'all already got them on the way. Okay.
Yes, sir.
They're going to have it. All right. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can find us on Facebook or on our website, mobilebaycoins.com, or you can give us a call. Phone number is 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Anna.
Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Continue our conversation with Congressman and AL1 Republican candidate, Jerry Carl. Let's talk about this I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. Where do you stand on the current project?
Well, they're going to do a ribbon cutting, I understand, here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to get it started. I know there's been a lot of argument over the naming of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, if you got $1 billion you want to donate, I'll name it after you. I'll name it after anybody that'll come up with the money.
I thought about this one yesterday. You know, Tim Cook, Baldwin County guy.
I think that's a great idea.
Tim Cook Apple Bridge.
Exactly. We could build the bridge
apple,
to look like a giant apple.
I don't care.
That?
Yeah, put it. Give us the money.
Yeah, well, just $1 billion, but All kidding aside, I think we're finally moving forwards. I think we've probably got 60-65% of the money secured. That's the key. I'm going to make it obviously one of my priorities to talk to the president about, you know, how we can move some money around. Don't want to raise, don't want to print any more money.
Right.
But how we can look at some of these other projects, especially being on appropriations, which I'll go back on. We can look at some of these green energy projects and see if we can start pulling some money back and use it on a bridge. Because that bridge, to me, is national security.
That's been the argument since the word go, right?
Because there's traffic anywhere you go. But national security, getting stuff across. If you want to get something from the Marshall Space Center in Houston, guess what? You got to come across that bridge to get it to Jacksonville, Florida,
mm-hmm.
or vice versa. So, there's just so many things, or Cape Canaveral. There's just so many things that bridge from a national security standpoint stands for. And we've got to do it. We've got to figure out a way to do it.
I mean, when you have that message in Washington, what do they say? They say, okay, I hear you, Congressman.
Well, I inherited this from Bradley mm-hmm. Byrne, and Bradley told me, you know, Bradley had all the members up and down I-10 sign off on a letter years ago that encouraging the president at that time, which I'm assuming probably was Clinton. Bush maybe. Anyway, mm-hmm. encouraging the financing of the bridge. So we got a good share of it, good chunk of it, but, it's just one of those things. I mean, Katie Britt and Tuberville, they both worked hard trying to help raise money. God bless them. I mean,
we
got to do more.
Have a Governor Tuberville going up there,
yeah.
You know, to talk.
Tommy's very close with Trump. Very close. I mean, they're very close. So that'll be a good mouthpiece for us.
Okay.
And, of course, Katie Britt, I'm Senator Britt. I got to quit calling her mm-hmm. Katie Britt. Senator Britt, I mean, she's very close to the president, too. So we got the connections. We just got to start exercising ourselves. Maybe get out of a war
mm-hmm.
would be a good start, and then we can start focusing on some other stuff.
Yeah, which is, speaking of businesses, too, you and I talked about this in the past, and it continues. We talk about the war with Iran. You know, the number one thing at risk, and we have had hundreds of injuries and we have had deaths in the war with Iran. But beyond that, the treasure portion of it, they have a $20,000 drone. We have a $1.3 million Tomahawk.
Yep.
We got to make, I mean, just look at what Ukraine's done. We got to make more. I know we have some, I can't say that, some bad arse drones, Reapers. We have some, I'm talking about $20,000 drones. I mean, what a thing to be building here in the United States and have those. Because you could just have just miles of them, you know?
And the president's been encouraging that. I mean, I got to go to Ukraine real quickly. I got to see all that drone production. So trust me, if they're producing it, we've helped them. So we have technology.
Yeah,
but it's just a matter of getting it set up and done. It doesn't happen overnight.
I mean, you're on the same page. Michael said each and every week in the U.S., the U.S. is wasting more money fighting Iran than what the bridge would cost.
Well, I agree with that, but it's a fight worth fighting. I don't want to back away. I mean,
but I just don't know what, as a constituent here, as soon as we entered the kinetic warfare, I support my country and my troops 100%. But I do have a question of to tell them, where's the finish line? What is it? Is it that they're rendered unable to produce nuclear weapons? Is it the Strait of Hormuz? Is it regime change? These are fair questions.
Regime change for me.
I mean, so how long could that take?
It's going to take the people. I don't know, Sean. I wish I could flip a switch and it'd be over with.
Yeah, well, me too.
But I think what the president's doing is, as far as fooling with their currency and cutting their oil exports, so I think that's the way to do it. I've said that for the last 2 years. That's the way to do it. I think it's going to cripple them to a point they'll have no choice.
They'll start eating
their own.
Well, a thing that somebody who's in that theater who knows a lot more than me said, hey, Sean, here's the deal. You know, it's going to cost them so much to shut down the wells they have. If they run out of storage, that will be a real bad one on them because it takes forever for them to open them back up.
What do you
up.
Think happened to the American production in the 70s? The Saudis flooded us with cheap oil. We had to shut the wells down. Those wells collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
We had to re-drill them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you anticipate as a hole in the ground with a huge piece of pipe.
Right, there's not just an off switch. Yeah,
they're pressurized. Mm-hmm. So they collapse. So you have to re-drill the whole thing. So there's a lot of chess playing going on here.
Let's talk about what you think, your prediction for the midterms coming up. I mean, we're good in Alabama, but...
Well, we're getting Alabama around the by a Republican base to get out and vote.
Might get more turnout than showed up for the special?
I'm sure we will. There's no doubt in my mind we will. I think we're going to be around 30-35%, but I'm still not happy with that. I think it should be higher. But
I'll throw a pizza party if we make 30%. I'll throw a pizza party here at the station.
Okay. All right. And if we don't, I'll throw the party.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
Is that a deal? All right. But I think we'll keep the House by how many that's the real question.
Do you think Republicans will keep the House?
I think we will. Okay. I think we'll keep the Senate, too.
Okay.
We got to get something accomplished. We got to keep them both. Jerry, and you, the voters, are the one to make the difference.
Let's get that 35%, and then we get that pizza party. Jerry, thank you. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.